Tomorrow Together. We're sitting here today discussing the biggest project in Australia since the Harbour Bridge, since the Snowy Mountains Electricity Project, probably bigger. And we're going to piece it together now. Tomorrow Together is the task force name, BHP and Associates. We're going to get into who they're doing this with. It's to turn the biggest coal mine in New South Wales into a series of lakes, pumped hydro, solar, wind farms, and so on. I'm sitting here today with BHP whistleblower James Joseph and coal mining advocate Simon Turner. And we're just going to piece together what we know, because there's been a Senate inquiry. You wouldn't have heard about it. And there's good reason why Tomorrow Together, this enormous, humongous project, is being kept under wraps at the moment, because the private interests are moving ahead of the corporations. Simon Turner, what are we looking at here? What do we know about this project?
Well, from what I'm reading, they're going to model the successful what's in operation now in Germany in the old coal mines. Out here it'll be the Hunter Lakes Corporation, which is pumped hydro. So basically flooding the Mount Arthur coal mine once it's finished its production of coal.
How big is this thing? How much water are we talking about here?
You're talking megalitres, like, you know, 300 metre deep voids that are, you know, 1-2 kilometre long. It'd probably dwarf Lake Macquarie here in Newcastle. And this is supposed to go from Musselbrook, stretching right through down to Singleton, Wombo, to the southern end of where the coal mining open cut pits are.
And we're talking about other uses, like a tourism destination, water skiing and all that kind of thing.
Yeah,
too.
All the coal miners will be able to use their boats and jet skis and go down there, take their caravan, have a Australia Day weekend on the side of the number 2 pit.
All right, well, it sounds like it makes sense. It's the energy transition, turning mining pits, mining voids into pumped hydro projects.
Well, it's happening in Musselbrook. There's a select Senate committee inquiry into nuclear energy. Now, one of the opponents who made a submission in that is the Mining and Energy Union. Now, of course, they'd be against it because given their involvement in the enterprise agreements and everything within the coal industry for, you know, day dot, basically, they oppose it. And then you've got the other people involved in it that are listed in the program, Hunter Lakes Corporation. Now, how many people would have heard about this in the Hunter Valley? How many people know about it?
Well, so James Joseph, you're formerly BHP, the top guy in HR for the state. What's the regulatory thing? Why is this so quiet? What's your take on the subterfuge, if you like? They're obviously building community consensus, but what's the regulatory outlook? What do they need to get this across the line?
Yeah, look, I think they need to kind of reinvent the playbook, and that's exactly what they're doing. You know, I remember a common term that was used by execs out there in my short time there, and it was, our planning's got to remain agile. And I was always troubled with that, because it's another way of them saying, there is no bloody plan. But in this scenario, it kind of resonates, because what I think's happening, Westy, is they're actually doing it arse end backwards. So if they had more time, and if they could follow a non-complex legislative process, and they could get, you know, the projects and the investors and the you know, the sequencing optimal, like you do with any major project, no dramas.
That'd be open for tender, wouldn't it?
It'd be open for tender. But that hasn't been the case with multiple worlds colliding, and those worlds are what's happening in the political domain, what's happening with the ESG transition debate, uranium versus renewables. And unfortunately, I think what we stumbled across, as huge as it is going over a lot of heads in the public interest. So I think there is a plan. I think that is a corporate agenda. That's kind of what I blew the whistle on.
But the tail's wagging the dog, because they're building community consensus before they've got regulatory approval, and the politicians are way behind, aren't they?
Yeah, look, I've been in some of these community stakeholder sessions on site, and I never heard anything about a pumped hydro or renewables. It was, forestry, turning it back to the land that once was. It was let's create mill type of infrastructure with all of the forestry out there. Pumped hydro wasn't even a mention. Now, if I give you actual detail, the head of transition didn't actually start there until February 2023. But we had confidential visits relating to this prior to that.
So this is the Turnbull visit, former PM Malcolm Turnbull.
Correct.
So he was on site. He's sniffing around. He's got some involvement. What do we know?
What do we know? So we know that he's no longer politically, he's no longer a formal politician. I think he exited in 2021 or two. We know, based on media, that he is chasing renewables. He's invested, some of his individual and trust.
His company's already won tenders in that area.
I was going to get there. It's kind of related to the question on legislative, regulatory. He's already been given, water access rights to some of the surrounding areas. So
he's got a property, a personal farm, that actually looks onto the Mount Arthur project.
He does. Yeah.
Just by the way, for the Mount Arthur project, it is this absolutely enormous project. It takes an hour or two to drive from one end to the other, full of gigantic mining pits, voids. So it's a huge project. Turnbull was on site. We know that.
He was.
And we know that he's big into renewable energy. We know the project makes a lot of sense, but what I can't figure out is why this hasn't been put forward beyond the community. Why the subterfuge? What do they need? I mean, BHP doesn't own this land. It leases this land, and the lease runs out, in 2026?
Currently 2026, with an approval pending.
So, James, why the subterfuge? I mean, this is literally the biggest project since Snow Hydro or the Harbour Bridge. Why do we know nothing about it? What are they hiding?
Well, Mike, it's not a very good look. It's not a very good look if the community, which they're meant to be good faith engaging with, is finding out stuff after the fact, right? So I think what is happening here is there's a commercial agenda. There is a plan. It's, veiled in secrecy and confidentiality agreements. And then non-good faith stakeholder engagement is occurring with the community. Now, there is engagement. We know that. But I don't think the community is getting full transparency on what the corporation's plan actually is.
So what are the dollars involved here? So BHP's only got a lease up to 2026. They don't own this land. And there's native title stuff. There's environmental issues. They're going to have to clear all those hurdles. But what are we talking in terms of money here? I mean, they're making obviously billions of dollars from this one mine a year at the income level, at the revenue level. Presumably, I mean, what are we talking, like 10% of the state's electricity?
Well, I think it's a long equation, and there's multiple things you can throw into it. So you mentioned revenue. If they get that approval, they've got the right to mine for another 4 years. That's huge money in itself.
This is the 2026 extension.
To the modification. The modification, if that gets over the line, which it's looking like it might, that's going to bring in lots of cash flow for the next 4 years. Now, the second piece to this is related to one of the inquiries going on, not the one in the Hunter. It's the land use, future beneficial land use mining one being led by Minister Savall. Now, depending on the recommendations that come out of that, if they enable reform to occur on mine relinquishment, it opens the door for, things like this Turnbull plan or this Hunter Lakes Corporation's plan, which, if you think about it, it makes sense. It's an okay plan. But what the problem a lot of people might have with it is, but that was the plan, so why are you consulting me?
Why doesn't the government do it if it's a project of this size? Why are they allowing private operators and people who are just leasing the land to do it? I mean, obviously there's a huge commercial win in this. If they can get 10% of the grid or whatever, that's billions in revenue every year.
Absolutely.
From clean energy. Yep. It makes sense, but so obviously these guys have got their eyes on the transition and the dollars to come out of the transition, but what do they have to clear? Well, what hurdles do they have to clear? They've got to get the Indigenous on board. Are they on board? Have they been talking to, what's the local clan?
The clan plan.
The clan.
the Plains clan, I think, is what.
Plains clan.
Yeah, right, Senator Higginson referred to him as. Look, I don't know the detail of that. All I do know is one traditional owner group was mentioned in that inquiry, or one of the inquiry sittings. But I've heard from ex-colleagues out there that there's a lot more than that. So there's just so much confusion on this complex topic as to what the facts are and what the actual sequencing was, that I think we need to be more transparent with the community. They're the number one stakeholders in my view, and everybody else we're talking about are enables to, you know, what's best for the hunter.
With the Adani mine, they just were to get the Indigenous on board, the local First Nations people on board, they bust a whole lot of them in and just got them to pay them to vote at the meeting. So, I mean, obviously they're a long way. They haven't had any discussions with them yet, even, have they? Or
Community, there have been discussions. You just have to log on to the BHP website and have a look at when those sessions occurred. I think one occurred the day after they closed my investigation, would you imagine? This occurred on the 8th of February, I think it was. Now, that precedes a lot of what we're talking about in terms of, you know, transparency on pumped hydro. So the sequencing is a bit of a concern on this one.
What about the environment? I mean, they've got to do an EIS, environmental impact study, and they've got to, you know, I mean, if you fill all this, if you create all these lakes, you're going to be, you know, drowning a lot of koalas or whatever it is, or natural habitat. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to be an incredibly large hurdle to...
Well, you've also got all the Indigenous sites that are around there at Mount Arthur as well. Then you're just going to flood everything.
6,000.
Right? It'll disappear. Yeah. It'll just go, everything will be underwater. But I think another important thing to look at is Mount Arthur, well, not only Mount Arthur, the other coal mines, they're a direct feed to the power station in the Hunter Valley. So you've got to replace that direct feed. So there's your dollar market there alone. And then you've got the export of coal, which will stop. So you have everything in the Hunter Valley now contributing simply through pumped hydro to power the state.
They'd have wind and solar, wouldn't they? Wind and solar farms around it.
Well, supposedly. Yeah. I don't think I've seen any.
But what you're saying is it makes sense from an energy transition point of view that you've got the coal mines, coal's coming to an end, you turned it into pumped hydro. But
the downside of that is the amount of employment at that mine site and the offshoots of that through other businesses, even in the local town of Musselbrook and Singleton, you're going to remove all of that workforce. Gone. Now, you're talking probably well over 2,000 people. Now, there's conjecture in past years on how many people they employ at Mount Arthur. We know there's bullshit given to the council, Musselbrook Council.
So they've lowballed the amount of people they employ to make it look more efficient than it is, right? Do you know the numbers on this?
Yeah, I do. It was part of what I brought forward. It's a material differential, and that's impacted so many different things, including what is the true closure cost of Mount Arthur.
So, but they've said they've got, 2,000, 3,000 employees?
Even on their website to date, I think it's been adjusted after I came forward. It went from 2,000 to 200, but I still think that's underbacked, because the last count I did when I was on site was around 2,700.
Well, except I just can't work out where the government is on this. We've got Malcolm Turnbull sniffing around. I mean, why would BHP have Turnbull on anyway? It could only be, I mean, they'd just do it themselves if they could. They've got enough lobbying muscle.
Yeah, right? They could. So why would they not run it themselves, BHP? Why not seek the approval? They're already liaising with council. They've got the approval and planning and everything in process for the mine to operate now and to end in 26 or 30, depending on what happens. They can just fully push on with the rehab, and instead of doing something in rehab that then has to be ripped out because they're going to flood it, you know, you're saving money there. You can just, if you know that it is going to be flooded later on, then you leave it to sit there or prepare it, spray it with the concrete, protect the
So we can only surmise that Turnbull's involvement then is political, because obviously, you know, he's no idol for News Corp. So for the right, so News Corp's, so he's probably, but he's friendly with Labor. He's been, you know, pretty very friendly, increasingly friendly with Labor. The Libs have got BHP completely.
BHP,
they're in BHP's pocket, the Minerals Council and so on. So all the lobby is totally in. There's going to be no argument there. So presumably Turnbull's there to get the Labor.
Well, his company, Wilcrow, which is, the same name as the property that looks directly at Mount Arthur, ABC have reported, and it's been out for quite a while, that that company is the one that won the tenders for pumping the water from the dams up there already. Now, if you go back and look at an ex-Lord Mayor who spoke yesterday, who was an ex-worker at Mount Arthur, spoke at this select committee hearing, and you now got an ex-CFMEU person that's now the Lord Mayor in Muswellbrook, Jeff Drayton. It's funny enough, he's just started a company called Hunter Irrigation Station.
Oh, that's a coincidence.
Now, Muswellbrook Council have just sold the pumping station to Mount Arthur also. Now, why would they do that? I've got no idea.
So it looks like it's all from the private sector, a fait accompli, but they haven't got their permissions yet. Nobody said, you can do this.
And bringing it back to your question, Westy, you know, why did BHP do it on their own? In order for BHP to progress such a project, they actually need legislative reform. Now, yeah, they're good lobbyists, and yeah, they got a lot of pull, but this is potentially where Malcolm comes in.
So if Labor's, so he's got the political muscle to lobby to Labor across the line,
the
so they get both sides of politics on board.
Yeah. And when we look at these inquiries...
But no tender as yet. You didn't see any side of it.
Well, with the timing and the delay in the reform, if there is going to be a reform, there actually can't be a tender process because it's not part of the process. The current process is turning back to Woodlands and Forestry.
So they've got to change the law to do it.
Correct.
And that's the New South Wales law.
Yep.
So now we've got a cross-pollination of New South Wales government and federal government...
Bingo.
...both involved in this...
And that explains why the federal government are flying into the Hunter. When's the last... I couldn't even get my leaders to fly down to the Hunter, all right? And now how many times has Chris Bowen been to the Hunter and Albo been to the Hunter in the last 12 months?
Quite a bit. So it's all on. Together tomorrow. It sounds a bit like Albo's... What is it? What's Albo's one?
Stronger Together.
Stronger Together. Sounds a bit like Stronger Together. Together tomorrow.
Yeah.
Malcolm and BHP together. And the government in there... yet to really talk about it publicly, but obviously in there together tomorrow as well.
Yeah, it's a lot of catchy titles catching on.
Well, we'll keep up the investigations here and bring you what we know. What's the timing actually with...
Senate inquiry, last standing hearing is on the 17th of December. I don't know how long it comes to come up with recommendations from opposed to Parliament, but I think a lot of people will be eagerly watching this one. And then the uranium inquiry, I'm not sure. That's about wrapping up.
You think they'd want to push it through pretty quickly because this is the biggest power transition in our history.
Yep.
We're replacing a whole grid that's been in existence since, 1900s?
And with an election around the corner, mate, I reckon it's going to go through pretty quick.
Interesting stuff. All right, together tomorrow. We're going to wrap it up there. Thanks for your support. We're up in Newcastle on the story, and we'll get something on the website when we've got something meaningful to investigate and write about.